Oh, come into the house of the Lord. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship. God is good
all the time.
And what a good day to be in the house of the Lord on this graduation Sunday as we celebrate accomplishments and as we share with you in your hopes and your dreams and your plans for the future as graduates from high schools and universities and colleges and other programs. Today is a special day, so we wear our academic gowns. I'm reminded of a time when I was with a group of pastors. And they asked if for this special community service, were we going to be robed or disrobed? And I said, please wear something. So today we wear our robes and we stand in solidarity with those who continue the journey. For all of us are students, even if students of the Lord and His Word. Today I want to remind you of a few things coming up. Be sure to be here tonight at 5 p.m. for our fellowship meal. We believe in fellowship at First Baptist. We believe that joining together and laughing around the table, breaking bread together, builds our relationship and in turn builds our faith. And so we, once a month, put together a fabulous meal. Sometimes it's something elaborate. Sometimes it's more simple. But we come together and we eat. And we encourage you to be here tonight at 5 o'clock. We also want to remind you of what we announced last Sunday. Put on your calendars, mark your calendars, Saturday, June 2nd, 9 to 1. It may not even go that long, but well, we do have a time to come together as a church for some discussion and some brainstorming and dreaming together. Churches should dream together. And we want to look at how our new vision statement might impact our church, how it might inform the ministries and programs of our church. And you all have some great ideas. We've been hearing them for several months now, but we want to come together and officially hear those great ideas that you have. So mark that June 2nd on your calendar.
I also wanted to share this morning, the weather didn't cooperate with us this weekend. As many of you know, it's been raining for a couple days, and the youth were supposed to hold their annual car wash yesterday afternoon. We will be rescheduling that date. So for those individuals who bought car wash tickets, they will be honored when we get that makeup date. I will let you know. If you have not bought a car wash ticket in advance, you're welcome to get some today or in the coming weeks. I also want to let you know that our youth are still raising funds for our summer retreat. And our next fundraiser is our annual mattress raffle. We have been generously donated a brand new mattress from Kingsdown Mattress. And we will be actually raffling that item off at our Deacon Fish Fry, which is on Friday, June 1st. You heard Ethan speak about the fish fry yesterday. We want to encourage you and invite your friends and your family to come to this wonderful night of fellowship. You can sign them up in the vestibule or in the Sunday school classrooms. But as a part of that, we will be raffling the mattress off that evening. You can see one of our youth. All our youth have bags of raffle tickets as of this morning. They will be selling those around the church. Stop one of them. If you can't catch one of them, catch me. And I have raffle tickets I'll be selling as well. But this is a way to support our summer mission trip coming up at the end of the summer. So I encourage you to participate in those two fundraisers coming up for the youth in the coming weeks. As we gather here this morning, We do want to go to the Lord in prayer. We want to turn to His Word first, though. It is a special Sunday being a graduate Sunday. But it's also a special Sunday because it is Pentecost Sunday. And this morning, our prayer will focus on that special time, that special celebration. Our opening scripture passage this morning comes from Psalm chapter 16, reading verses 7 through 11. Psalm 16, 7 through 11. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful ones see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, you sent the Spirit to be with us so many years ago, yet He still resides with us and He resides in this place today. We just ask that our spirits be ignited with the passion of the Spirit as we worship this morning, as we celebrate with our graduates. Warm us by the Spirit's dancing tongues of flame that we may feel your kindling blaze within us, urging us to do the greater good. Father, as we gather here this Sunday, this Pentecost Sunday, this day of celebration for our graduates, we celebrate because we are in your presence. Father, move us, shake us. We lift this prayer in your Son, Jesus the Christ's name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, 10,000 Reasons.
Worship His holy name. Sing like never.
May be seated. Graduate Sunday, it is a day of bittersweet emotions. We smile and we celebrate and we are excited for our graduates, yet we're also a little sad. The young people that sit on our front row this morning have been an important part of our congregation for 3 or 4 years, up to 21 years. It's a day of celebration. It's a day that you deserve because y'all have worked hard. It is a day that not just you have worked hard, but your families have worked hard. And I talked with them this morning that when their graduates are recognized this morning, we're asking all their family and their close friends to please stand because they did not do it alone. You get the degree. And your parents and your grandparents, your close friends, have a smile on their face. It is a day of celebration. This morning we began our celebration with a brunch with our graduates and their families. We also presented them one of the gifts that they were going to receive on behalf of the church today, and I want to share that with you this morning. Each of our graduates received a prayer shawl that was crocheted by our prayer shawl ministry. Each of them received a prayer shawl in the colors of the school that they will be attending in the fall, or the colors of the school they're graduating from. And it is a lifelong gift. It's not something that will you'll be excited for it to begin with, but every time you look at that prayer shawl, we want you to remember that you have a family here at First Baptist Church of Elon that is praying for you, that has prayed for you, that is praying, and that will continue to pray. Today is a day of celebration. And so, without further ado, we're going to recognize our graduates. Mason, if you'll stand and help us out with the presentation of gifts. We'll begin with our high school graduates. They've been asked to come forward and share their names and where they're graduating from and what their future plans might be, if they know those at this time. And we look forward to a special presentation. So, our first high school graduate, Sophia Allred.
Hi, my name is Sophia Allred. I'll be graduating from ABSS Early Middle College, and I will be staying at ACC to finish my cosmetology degree and then also get a business degree.
Our next high school graduate, David Farnham.
I'm David Farnham. I'm graduating from Western Elements High. I'm going to ACC for a Linux and Unix program, and I'm going to transfer somewhere. Don't know where yet. So, thank you.
Our next high school graduate was unable to be with us this morning. Savannah Howard will also be graduating from Western Alamance High School in just a couple weeks. She will be attending Appalachian State in the fall. Now our next high school graduate, our next high school graduate with us today is Andrew McKee.
I'm Andrew McKee. I'm graduating from Western Alamance High School. In the fall, I'll be going to NC State, and I'll be double majoring in chemical engineering and paper science. Thank you.
And our final high school graduate this year, Maddie Ann McKee.
I'm Maddie Ann McKee. I'm graduating from Western Alamance High School, and in the fall I'll be going to NC State and majoring in biomedical engineering. Thank you.
Now starting with our college graduates, Abigail Allred.
Well, I'm back again. I'm graduating from Alamance Community College in a couple weeks, and I'll be transferring to Appalachian State University to study in graphic arts and imaging technology cross media with a minor of general business. Thank you.
Our next college graduate, Jamie Engel.
Hey, I'm Jamie. I just graduated from Elon University with a BA in English and Political Science, and I'm currently looking for a job.
I did tell our college graduates they're looking for a job. This is where the networking starts. So if anybody has a job to give, Jamie, speak to Jamie. Our next college graduate was unable to be with us this morning. Catherine Hill graduated from NC State University just a couple weeks ago. Actually, last weekend, I think it was. She graduated with a Bachelor of Science degree in elementary education, summa cum laude. She will be interviewing for teaching positions in the ABSS school system. She's hoping to be a teacher. So, again, if you have jobs to offer up, talk to Liz. Liz and Tommy, y'all stand up. Liz, stand up. Tommy's, there you go. Our next college graduate, Landon Hines.
Hello, everybody. I'm graduating from Appalachian State with a degree in criminal justice, and I'm currently looking for a job, so Jeff Pritchard, if you're there.
He's not even here.
He's not even here. If you can give me a job, that'd be great, but that's my career plans. Thank you.
Landon makes us both feel shorter and shorter every time he comes up here. And our final college graduate with us this morning, Chloe Robin.
Hi, everyone. My name is Chloe Robin. I graduated with a BFA in musical theater from Elon University, and I have signed with a talent agency in New York, so I'll be moving up there in August.
Yeah.
Each of our graduates received a Bible this morning along with a devotional to help them as God continues this journey in front of you. Really encourage you to use those gifts from the congregation. But that's not the last gift. Our final gift is a tradition here at First Baptist Elon. On Graduate Sunday, for as many years as I can remember, we've had someone sing the song Friends, because that's what you are, your friends, your family. And so I'm going to invite Ethan Reinheimer to come on up and share that song with us.
Packing up the dreams God planted in the fertile soil of you. Can't believe the hope he's granted means a chapter in your life is through. We'll keep you close as always. It won't even seem you've gone, 'cause our hearts and small ways will keep the love that keeps us strong. And friends are friends forever if the Lord's the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never, 'cause the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. With the faith and love God's given, springing from the hope we know, we will pray the joy you'll live in is the strength that now you show. We'll keep you close as always. It won't even seem you've gone, 'cause our hearts in big and small ways will keep the love that keeps us strong. And friends are friends forever if the Lord's the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never, 'cause the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. No, a lifetime's not too long. And friends are friends forever if the Lord's the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never, 'cause the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. No, a lifetime's not too long to live as friends.
Our offertory hymn this morning is hymn number 7, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Let's stand and let's worship.
Faithful God, you have always given your best, and still we struggle to give back to you. We are tempted to hold back. We are tempted to store up treasures on this earth and keep everything for ourselves. Lord, we need you to save us from our self-deception so we may live as your first fruit witnesses to the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. receive that it might be your glory. Bless those who continue to be students, but now in a different sort of room. Not the classroom, but the life that they now live. As their future unfolds, bless them with discernment and wisdom, the ability to continue to learn, both from success and from failure. Bless them as they turn the page, turn out of the driveway and say goodbye to moms and dads and brothers and sisters. Bless parents and teach them how to be parents in this new way. Teach them how to live life after the nest is empty. Teach them how to move forward with grace. Blessings, O Lord, we pray for all family here. As they celebrate and rejoice, let us not forget to turn to you and say, you, O Lord, are the giver of all good gifts. And so to you we say thank you. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ.
Lord, Lord of all. trumpet sound. Oh, may I live in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne.
I can't wait. Three words I have a feeling that each one of us has echoed sometime more recently than others. Graduates, how many times over the last couple weeks have you said to yourself, I can't wait? Maybe it's in the midst of exams. I can't wait till these exams are over. Maybe it's in the midst of getting through those senior projects. I can't wait till I turn this thing in. Maybe it's sitting in graduation ceremony and saying, I can't wait till this graduation speaker gets done. Right? You feel me? You got it. High schoolers, I can't wait till AP exams are over. I can't wait till exams are over. I can't wait till high school's over. I can't wait till I get out of my house so I get to go to college to be away from my parents. You feel me? You feel me? Congregation, I can't wait till the weekend. I can't wait till vacation is here. I can't wait till summer gets here. Do y'all feel me? We said those words, right? I think I said those words this morning. Sitting over at Krispy Kreme. I can't wait to get out of here. I can't wait. Those three words often pops up in times of stress, in times of struggle, in times of frustration. I can't wait until... I can't wait. Why is it those three words come up when things aren't going well? When things are tight, when things are stretching us beyond what we think that we can accomplish? I can't wait. This morning, my hope is after I finish that you have an answer to the reason why you can wait. An answer that maybe you desired a couple weeks ago. Or you're desiring over the next couple weeks, or we're desiring for the next couple years. We can wait. We can wait because God is preparing us for something better. God is preparing us for something greater. God is preparing us for the next step. We can wait. This morning, our scripture passage we're going to look at comes from Psalm chapter 27. And if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me in there. We're going to look at one verse this morning. It's actually the final verse in Psalm 27. But this morning, I want to, before we get to this last verse, I want you to close your eyes. And that's always a dangerous thing for a pastor to say from the pulpit. Close your eyes, but please open them back up in a minute. Okay, just close your eyes. And I want you to breathe in the setting for Psalm 27. This is a psalm written by David, and we'll be getting to verse 14 at the very end, but close your eyes and listen to what David was going through when he wrote this psalm. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You who have been my help, do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now open your eyes. And this is the final verse. Wilson, if you'll pull it up again. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. And let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Now, if you think about those words we just read that were penned by David so many years ago, those were words of tough times, stress, struggle. I mean, compared to finishing exams, having an enemy encamp against you, I think it kind of pales in comparison. I mean, he said that people were speaking falsely against him. Kind of pales into comparison of getting through that class with that teacher we just don't like. He talks about his enemies rising up and surrounding him. Pales in comparison to making it to the weekend, right? Now, I'm not belittling the stresses and the struggles that we face here, but what I do want to point out is this. David was going through in a very difficult time when he penned this, and he gave a hint to how we can make it through, how we can get through. And I think it's a lesson that we each can learn, not just our graduates this morning, but it's a lesson that we all can learn when those times of trial rise up against us. And when we're struggling, when we're trying to figure out what are we supposed to do, David simply says, wait. Wait. You probably heard your parents say it this way, patience. Ever heard that? You're shaking your head, Abby. I know they've said it to you. Patience. Patience. In the midst of struggle and trial, David says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. That's actually the opposite of what we usually do. When that time of stress and trial, what do? We amp up on our caffeine. We try to run away as fast as we can, or we try to accomplish the task that lies in front of us as fast as we can so we can get the other side. But in this passage, David is saying, wait. Wait. Be patient. Our humanness says, let's get to the other side. But God says, patience. Patience. College graduates, did a little bit of research on estimate. You have spent 21,600 hours in the classroom as you graduate this year. 21,600. Chloe's off her head. Yes, I felt them all. 21,000. High schoolers, you got a little ways to go to catch up with them. 21,600 hours just in the classroom alone. That's not including all the assignments you had to do, all the homeworks you had to do, all the studying you had to do. If you add that on, you're closer to 45,000 to 50,000 hours of your lifetime has been spent focused on school. To be exact, that's 4.5 years straight. 365 days, every single hour for 4.5 years, that's what you've been doing. They deserve a round of applause, folks. I mean, And high schoolers, you're over three-fourths of the way there. And in the midst of all that, what I say is be patient. Wait, 45,000 hours and you want me to be patient? Patience. Wait for the Lord. Patience. How about it when it comes to our careers, our family, financial difficulties, medical stresses, whatever sits on our desk on Monday morning when we go back to work tomorrow, whatever holds over our heads is looming in the coming weeks and months. And in the midst of it all, David says, patience. Wait for the Lord. Now the question is why? Why is that the answer? That seems like a simple answer, and you're probably thinking, David, it's got to be harder than that, and it is, because when we try to wait for the Lord, when we try to be patient, we try to do it ourselves. We try to wait and be patient, and then we get fed up, and then we go. That's when we rely on our human instinct. Our humanity kicks in and says, I can be patient, I can wait. We sit in the doctor's office for 20 minutes, and after 20 minutes, we're a bit fit to be tied and say, why aren't they doing their job the way they're supposed to do? Wait. Be patient, but don't rely on yourself. Rely on God. That's the key, because what David says here is that waiting for God, waiting and being patient, is not a human thing, it's a divine thing. And it's not just a passive thing, but it's an active thing. Look at the words. He says, wait for the Lord, and then he says, be strong and let your heart take courage. Those are two active things. If we're waiting on the Lord, first off, we're supposed to be strong. How do we be strong in the midst of stress and trial? How do we do that? How does that happen? Because the strength we rely on is the same strength that the God of creation brought this world into. That the God of creation has waited for humanity to turn back to Him. That's a lot of waiting. But that's a strength that we can't even begin to understand, but we can grasp. We can have. Graduates. As the stress has come, whether they be sitting a couple of months down the road at college, whether they be sitting and searching for a job, moving to a new city, be strong in the Lord, in the Lord. Use His strength. That's active. It's not passive. But He didn't stop there. He didn't just say, wait, be patient, be strong in the Lord. He finished it up and said, and let your heart take courage. This is where we usually fall. This is where we usually give up on that patience thing. We say we have to take courage in our heart. It has to well up inside of us, but we don't want it to. We want our other emotions to kick in, right? We want the frustration and the anger and the sadness and the reliance on somebody else. But he says, wait, be patient, let your heart take courage. Your heart take courage. Your heart, which was crafted by the hands of God. Your heart that we're called to turn over to Him. Your heart, which for many, many centuries was the source of your life and your breath. Your heart. Let all of you take courage. Be strong in God, because He is strength. Take heart. Let your heart take courage, because it encompasses your whole body. And wait for the Lord. Be patient. Wait for the Lord. British pastor, in looking at this one verse in Psalm 27, said this. Pastor G. Campbell Morgan, he said this. Waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. Waiting for God means first, activity under command. Second, readiness for any new command that may come. And third, the ability to do nothing under the command until the command is given. So I return to those three words we began the sermon off with. I can't wait. You're right. We can't wait, but with God, we can. High schoolers, as you almost cross the finish line, as you come to that point with projects and exams and assignments coming up, the next chapter in your education will bring you some of the same struggles, the same stresses, the same frustrations, the same unanswered questions. And I want you to remember patience. College graduates, you've crossed the finish line, at least temporarily, whether future education lies in front of you. The search for the job continues. Career, family, whatever the stresses may be, they're going to be in front of us. My encouragement to you this morning is this: patience. First Baptist Elon, whatever difficulty that lies ahead of us, whatever lies ahead of you at work tomorrow with your family and your friends, let's remember patience. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we may be sitting here in the midst of stress and struggle, the stretch of unanswered questions or realization that we don't have all the answers, expectations for tomorrow that don't bring us high hope, medical tests or procedures that are looming in the distance, change in jobs and change in family that cause ripples of waves of effect into our lives. But you told your servant David, and you tell us that this today, patience. Wait for me. Be strong. Let your heart take courage and wait for you. Father, may we turn to you. May we wait for you in those times, knowing you have the ultimate answer. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. If you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of response, hymn 411, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," verses 1 and 4. Please stand.